This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Scores of U.S. investigators have arrived in Saudi Arabia. They're there to look into Monday's terrorist attacks in Riyadh, which killed at least 34 people, 8 of them Americans. Getting cooperation from the kingdom for such terror investigations has been a touchy issue in the past. The U.S. is counting on better results this time. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
Saudi sensitivity over the size and makeup of the team may have contributed to the 3-day delay in getting investigators to the scene. That's a long wait in the world of forensics, according to former FBI counterterror analyst Matt Levitt.
These crime scenes get contaminated very quickly, and it's extremely important to get professionals on the ground who know how to make use of them.
Reports from Riyadh also indicate the Saudis may not have properly cordoned off the scene of the blast. That could mean that critical evidence might be moved or simply blow away. But the real test of the Saudi commitment to the probe starts now as U.S. investigators get to work. In the past, the Saudi government has been very reluctant to let Americans get deeply involved in terror investigations. In 1995, an attack on the Saudi National Guard office in Riyadh killed 5 Americans. 4 men confessed to the attack. The Saudis acted quickly to punish them, but Levitt says the penalty ended any intelligence gathering.
As soon as the Saudis captured suspects, they beheaded them before we could talk to them.
Then, in 1996, terrorists used a truck bomb to attack the Khobar Towers military dormitory in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. 19 Americans died. Once again, the Saudis were reluctant to allow full U.S. cooperation. The FBI lobbied hard to interrogate suspects directly. Instead, the FBI was allowed to watch from behind a glass screen while Saudi agents interrogated them. There were many reasons. Stephen Simon was on the National Security Council staff at the time. He says the Saudis were nervous about early indications that Iran might have supported the terrorists, which, if true, could have destabilized the region.
You know, the Saudis just wanted to keep that under their hat until things became clearer. Of course, this meant blocking U.S. access to information that would lead the Americans in the direction of Iranian complicity or responsibility.
That's a sharp contrast to what happened in 1998 when Al-Qaeda struck the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Stephen Simon says the U.S. was allowed to take control of those investigations, partly because the locals had little choice.
Their police departments are not well trained. They're not really professionalized. They don't have the equipment with which to conduct an investigation. They didn't have Xerox machines so that things could be photocopied.
The FBI was allowed to send hundreds of agents to those bombing scenes. 4 men were eventually convicted in U.S. courts. But former FBI analyst Matt Levitt says the payoff of a thorough investigation goes beyond a trial.
If all you do is crack down on the cell that conducted the attack, then all you've done is punish the individuals who've carried out this one specific attack, and you've done nothing to prevent the subsequent attack, whether it be in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or elsewhere.
Levitt says intelligence from the investigation in Riyadh could help stop another attack, one that could be in the planning stages right now. That's why he says it is critical for the FBI and the CIA to have access to raw intelligence to question subjects directly. It's not clear the Saudis are ready to go that far. They are, after all, being attacked by terrorists who object to a U.S. presence in Saudi Arabia, land they consider holy to Muslims. Stephen Simon says that's why both sides in this tug of war may have to compromise.
The U.S. may have to accept somewhat less access, but the Saudis may have to grant more than they would prefer.
But since this attack took place outside the U.S., it will largely be up to the Saudis to take the first step in that compromise. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.